Hello, and welcome to GCSE Food Prep and Nutrition Essentials. I'm your host, and today we're diving deep into one of the most exam-critical topics on the OCR J309 specification, diet-related health issues. Now, I know what you're thinking. I already know eating healthy is important. But here's the thing. The examiners aren't looking for generic advice. They want you to understand the precise physiological mechanisms linking specific nutrients to specific diseases. They want you to know the difference between prevention and management. And they want you to apply current UK government guidelines with accuracy and confidence. Over the next 10 minutes, we're going to cover the five major diet-related conditions you absolutely must know: obesity, coronary heart disease, type 2 diabetes, anemia, and osteoporosis. We'll explore the exact pathways from nutrient intake to disease, decode the Eat Well guide for exam success, and I'll share the common mistakes that cost students marks every single year. So grab your notes, get comfortable, and let's earn you those top marks. Core concepts, 5 minutes. Let's start with the big one, obesity. Now, obesity is defined as having a BMI over 30, and it's caused by an energy imbalance. That's calories in exceeding calories out over a sustained period. But here's where students often lose marks. You need to be specific about what energy dense means. Energy dense foods are high in calories relative to their weight. Think biscuits, cakes, fried foods, and sugary drinks. These foods are often high in fat and free sugars, which provide lots of energy but little nutritional value. The prevention strategy? Balance your energy intake with physical activity. Choose nutrient-dense foods like fruits, vegetables, and whole grains, and limit energy-dense processed foods. But if someone is already obese, the management approach shifts to a calorie-controlled diet, increased physical activity, and careful portion monitoring. See the difference? Prevention is about habits. Management is about intervention. Now, let's talk about coronary heart disease, or CHD. This is where the examiner really wants to see that nutrient-to-pathology chain. Here's how it works. Excess saturated fat in the diet increases LDL cholesterol. That's low-density lipoprotein, the bad cholesterol. This LDL cholesterol deposits in the artery walls, forming plaque. Over time, this plaque narrows the arteries, restricting blood flow to the heart, which can lead to angina or even a heart attack. Students often confuse dietary cholesterol, found in eggs, for example, with blood cholesterol. Let me be crystal clear. It's saturated fat found in butter, fatty meats, and full-fat dairy that raises blood cholesterol, not the cholesterol in food itself. For prevention, the advice is to reduce saturated fat intake, increase omega-3 fatty acids from oily fish like salmon and mackerel, and limit salt to reduce hypertension. For management after diagnosis, saturated fat should be reduced to less than 7% of total energy intake. Soluble fiber should be increased, found in oats, beans, and apples, and plant sterols, found in fortified spreads, can help lower cholesterol further. Next up, type 2 diabetes. This is another area where students make a critical error. They say sugar causes diabetes, but that's not precise enough. Here's the accurate mechanism. Excess sugar and calories lead to obesity, which causes insulin resistance. That means the body's cells become less responsive to insulin, so glucose builds up in the blood instead of being absorbed for energy. Over time, the pancreas can't produce enough insulin to compensate, and blood glucose levels remain dangerously high. Prevention focuses on maintaining a healthy weight, limiting free sugars, that's added sugars and those naturally present in honey, syrups, and fruit juices, to less than 5% of total energy intake, and choosing low glycemic index foods like whole grain bread, basmati rice, and pulses, which release glucose slowly into the bloodstream. Management involves carbohydrate counting, eating regular meals to avoid blood sugar spikes, and monitoring blood glucose levels closely. Now let's switch gears to deficiency diseases. Anemia is caused by a lack of iron, which is essential for making hemoglobin, the protein in red blood cells that carries oxygen around the body. Without enough iron, you produce fewer red blood cells, and those you do produce are pale and small. Symptoms include fatigue, weakness, and shortness of breath. Iron comes in two forms. Heme iron, found in red meat, liver, and oily fish, which is easily absorbed, and non-heme iron, found in dark green leafy vegetables, pulses, and fortified cereals, which is less easily absorbed. To boost non-heme iron absorption, pair it with vitamin C, so have a glass of orange juice with your spinach. Prevention is about consuming the recommended 14.8 milligrams of iron per day for women and 8.7 milligrams for men. Management involves increasing iron-rich foods and, in severe cases, iron supplements prescribed by a doctor. Finally, Osteoporosis, a condition where bones become weak and brittle due to low bone mineral density. This is caused by inadequate calcium and vitamin D intake. Calcium is the building block of bones, and vitamin D helps the body absorb calcium from food. Without enough of both, bones lose density, becoming porous and fragile, increasing the risk of fractures. Prevention requires 700 milligrams of calcium per day from dairy products, fortified plant milks, tinned fish with bones like sardines, and dark green vegetables. Vitamin D comes from sunlight exposure and foods like oily fish, eggs, and fortified cereals. Weight-bearing exercise like walking, running, and dancing also strengthens bones. For management after diagnosis, calcium intake should increase to 1,000 to 1,200 milligrams per day. Vitamin D supplements are often recommended, and excessive caffeine and alcohol should be avoided as they interfere with calcium absorption. Exam tips and common mistakes. 2 minutes. Right, let's talk exam technique. The OCR J309 mark scheme rewards specificity. That means you need to know exact figures. 30 grams of fiber per day, free sugar is less than 5% of energy, 2 portions of fish per week, with one being oily, 700 milligrams of calcium daily. When you're answering explain why questions, use the nutrient function health consequence chain. For example, excess saturated fat increases LDL cholesterol, which deposits in artery walls forming plaque, narrowing the arteries and restricting blood flow to the heart, leading to CHD. See how each step logically follows? That's what gets you into the top mark band. Another big mistake, confusing prevention with management. Prevention is what you do before a condition develops. It's about healthy habits. Management is what you do after diagnosis. It's about therapeutic dietary changes. Make sure your answer matches the question context. And here's a critical one. Use the correct terminology. Say energy dense, not fattening. Say hypertension, not high blood pressure. Say type 2 diabetes, not just diabetes. Examiners are looking for precise, scientific language. When you're analyzing nutritional data tables, always calculate the difference between the intake and the reference intake. For example, if someone consumes 25 grams of fiber, but the RI is 30 grams, state clearly, this is 5 grams below the recommended intake, which may increase the risk of CHD and type 2 diabetes. In discuss questions, cover both the biological impact and the practical dietary implementation. Don't just say reduce saturated fat. Say reduce saturated fat by choosing lean cuts of meat, trimming visible fat, using low-fat dairy products, and grilling instead of frying. Quickfire, recall, quiz. 1 minute. All right, let's test your recall. I'll give you 5 seconds after each question to answer in your head. Question one, what is the mechanism by which excess saturated fat leads to CHD? Answer, excess saturated fat increases LDL cholesterol, which forms plaque in the arteries, narrowing them and restricting blood flow to the heart. Question two, what is the difference between heme and non-heme iron? Answer, heme iron is found in animal sources like red meat and is easily absorbed. Non-heme iron is found in plant sources like spinach and is less easily absorbed, but vitamin C can enhance its absorption. Question three, what is the recommended daily fiber intake for adults in the UK? Answer, 30 grams per day. Question four, how does obesity lead to type 2 diabetes? Answer, obesity causes insulin resistance, where body cells become less responsive to insulin, leading to high blood glucose levels. Question five, what are the 2 key nutrients needed to prevent osteoporosis? Answer, calcium and vitamin D. How did you do? If you got them all, fantastic. If not, go back and review those sections. Summary and sign off one. Mine it. Let's wrap up. Today, we've covered the 5 major diet-related health conditions for OCR, GCSE, food preparation, and nutrition: obesity, CHD, type 2 diabetes, anemia, and osteoporosis. We've explored the precise physiological mechanisms, the difference between prevention and management, and the specific UK dietary guidelines you need to know. Remember, examiners reward specificity, accurate terminology, and the ability to link nutrients to health outcomes with clear, logical explanations. Use the nutrient function consequence chain, know your figures, and always distinguish between prevention and management. Your action steps? Review the Eat Well guide and memorize those proportions. Practice explaining each disease pathway out loud until it's second nature. And when you're revising, use active recall. cover your notes, and test yourself on the mechanisms, the figures, and the dietary advice. You've got this. Keep practicing, stay focused, and those top marks are absolutely within your reach. Thanks for listening to GCSE Food Prep and Nutrition Essentials, and I'll see you next time.